Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. Now this morning, I'm going to preach on the faults of a faulty memory. The faults of a faulty memory. And I thank everybody that's here this morning. I thank everybody that's joining in by way of live stream. Now I want to say something to you that are listening by way of live stream. Listen, if you are physically able to be in the house of God, you need to be in the house of God. You need to be in the house of God. You really do. And I'm glad you join in with us. But I don't want you to use the live stream as a substitute for what is the perfect will of God for your life. And that's to be in the house of God. There's no substitute. I have a friend, and he's in another state. But he gives about every day a little devotion for the people in his church. And he gave a devotion. I read it this morning. He probably gave it yesterday. And in there he talked about obeying the Lord. And he mentioned, he said, you know, you need to be in the house of God. And he had one comment that was put on there in response to his devotion. And it was a rather lengthy comment. And the whole comment was this: I used to go to church. I got my feelings hurt. I don't go to church anymore. I'm closer to God than I've ever been. I'm happier than I've ever been. You shouldn't be so judgmental. Now, I want to tell you something. If that's the way you're feeling, you have deceived yourself. You need to be in the house of God. And let me tell you something. I've been going to church. I was saved January 27, 1973, and you could probably count on your 10 fingers the number of times that I have missed going to church in those close to 50 years. You could probably count them on there. And it's been when I've been sick, or I had a job for a while when I was with a power company, that sometimes I had to miss a service and an emergency call, something like that. But there have been very few times. When I say miss a service, I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. Those have been three priorities in my life. And I've been going. Now, do you think that I've been in church for going on close to 50 years and never had my feelings hurt? Do you believe that? Man, you are fooled bad if you believe that. In fact, I've probably had my feelings hurt more than most people. Pastors, they put up with a lot of stuff. There's been a few times that I've had people on my case so bad that I had to pull my wife off of them, because she was ready to go to war with them, because I wouldn't. No, I guarantee you that. But you know something? That is one of the things that church provides. It provides you with the opportunity to learn how to deal with people that hurt your feelings, and to make amends with people, and to get along with people on a long-term basis, does it not? And you realize that's part of spiritual maturity. Amen? That's part of spiritual maturity. And many of you have been here for 30, 40 years in this church. I guarantee you, every one of you had your feelings hurt a few times. But you're here. Amen? And so don't use that for an excuse. That was an opportunity for you. You're right there. Now, also, you that are joined by way of live stream, again, I want to thank you for joining in. And if you want to just indicate on there that you are listening, that is an encouragement to us. Amen? But you don't have to put any comments on there, all right? You can just say, we're listening. And you don't have to put any comments on there. You let me do the preaching. All right? You let me do the preaching. And then until God calls you to be the pastor, you let me do the preaching. And you just let us know that you're listening, and that's sufficient. I had somebody put a comment on there the other day, and they said something about, I think it was the Sunday that I preached about the Israel. But anyway, they put a comment on there. I'm glad to see you're wearing your, what is it the Jewish men wear? Yarmulke or something? Yarmulke? I'm glad to see you're wearing your yarmulke. And my wife looks at those comments and she said, well, what is this talking about? I said, I have no idea. And that confused me until this morning. And Charlie, she said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But she's going to try, amen. And she said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. And I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Go ahead. Amen. And she said, well, you know, you're turning kind of gray across here. That doesn't hurt my feelings. I thank God for every gray hair in my head. Amen. She said, you're turning kind of gray here, but when you kind of hold your head down there, and you're dark here. She said, it looks like you're wearing one of those caps on your head there. I said, but you didn't hurt my feelings. You just answered a question for me. I've been puzzled ever since I saw that comment on there. So, if you're looking here, and I've bowed my dermal head, you know, okay, that's just gray hair up there, and it's just give me another year or two. It'll be gray all over, all right? But I told Charlie, I said, you sure not going to hurt my feelings with that. Amen? There. So, anyway, you know, sometimes your comments, they confuse me. So let me, this, they're not necessary. All right. Genesis 40. You got it? Say amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 40. Now I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. All of Genesis 40 and part of Genesis 41. But I think it's necessary for me to do so for you to get the gist, the kind of the context, the story from what I want to take some thoughts this morning. And so we're going to read a lot of scripture. Now you got your Bibles, you follow along with me in your Bible. We're a Bible-believing church, and we ought to thrill at reading the Bible. Amen? Old Dr. Tom Malone, boy, he was a preacher. And he would always read a lot of scripture. And I heard him say something like this one time. He said, why do I read so much scripture? He said, I'm nervous. And he said, I read scripture until my nerves calm down. Then I preach, all right? So I'm going to read scripture this morning here, but it's not for my nerves. It's just essential to the message. Now, Genesis 40. Here we go. Ready? And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard and to the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now that's the providence of God right there where he had them put. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Joseph was such an exemplary prisoner, and he was a trustee in a sense. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Now that tells you something about Joseph, doesn't it? Here he is. He's like a trustee in the prison over other prisoners. And he comes in and he sees these guys and he says, man, something's wrong. Something's wrong. He was concerned about people. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream. And there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. And then Joseph says this, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now I trust you're familiar with the story of Joseph. His brothers hated him, sold him to slave traders, who took him down to Egypt, sold him as a slave to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife lied on him and accused him of trying to seduce her whenever she was in reality trying to seduce him, and she was enraged because he resisted her advances, and she lied on him, and therefore he ended up in prison. And that's the background of Joseph. So he said, you know, I'm here and I don't deserve to be here. Then at verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. Now I tell you what, the old baker thinks he's going to get a good interpretation. Turned out he didn't get a good one like the butler did. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Now get this. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and full-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. Now, who knows what a kine is? What are kine? Anybody know? Cows, yeah, all right. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the 2nd time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk. Now that's quite an accomplishment right there. Rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now I'd like to see that dream, how the one ear of corn ate another ear of corn. Amen? I guess it was kind of like Veggie Tales or something, all right? And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, now get this, I do remember my faults this day. Now remember I said I'm speaking this morning on the faults of a faulty memory. I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in 1 night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. And then if you'd continue reading, you'd find that Pharaoh sends for Joseph, and Joseph comes and interprets his dream. But that's not essential to what I want to say here this morning. Father, bless now the preaching of Thy Word. Use it to stir our hearts and to stir our memories, especially this morning, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. 3 days of each year are set aside to honor and to remember those who have served or are serving in the armed forces of our nation. We honor those who are presently serving on Armed Forces Day on the 3rd Saturday of May. Now that's just been a short while back. Most of us are not as aware of Armed Forces Day because it is not a national holiday as the others are. However, it is important that we honor and remember those who are presently serving in the armed forces of our country and their families. It's very important. And hopefully I'll be more diligent in placing a greater emphasis on that in the future. But the sacrifices that those men and women are making and the dangers that they're facing, they're very great. And they are all volunteers. That was not the way it was in the armed forces whenever I was of age to qualify to serve. They were drafting any and everybody they could get. But today it's all volunteers. And those people and their families, they need to be greatly appreciated. Amen? And think especially about Richard, one of our own that's serving now, been deployed. Then we honor those who have served and have survived on Veterans Day. We do that on the 11th day of November every year. Those who have served and survived, they also deserve to be honored. And many of them, especially those who served in Vietnam, they were not properly honored whenever they returned home because of the anti-war sentiment at that time. Before then and after then, when our soldiers come home, they're usually honored. But that was not the case with most of those that served in Vietnam. And even those who have come home to a hero's welcome, they are often soon forgotten. They're forgotten. And I try to make it a practice. If I see somebody that's maybe wearing a hat, a cap, says, you know, veteran of such and such war, veteran of Vietnam or World War II or whatever, I try to make it a point to go to them and thank them for their service. And I know this on a couple of occasions. I've had people, men say to me, you're the only person that's ever thanked me. You're the only person. Now that's a shame, is it not? And we assume that they all have been thanked repeatedly. But you know, perhaps it's shyness. I hope it's not lack of appreciation. But we need to put forth the effort to let these people know that we appreciate them. And then there is Memorial Day, which we will observe tomorrow. And on Memorial Day, we honor and remember those who died, those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the service of our country. And many have actually died during our lifetimes. And their families are still living, and their families are still grieving the loss. And if you know of a family experiencing such grief, I would encourage you to try to reach out to them tomorrow and just let them know that you're praying for them and seek to comfort them. It may have been many, many years since they've had anybody. Just tell them how much they understand and appreciate the sacrifice that their sons or their daughters made or a brother or sister made. I can tell you this, grieving families never get over it. Never get over it. I had a family that I would visit occasionally. They were members of another church, but they lived close to our church, and we became fairly close. And I would visit them occasionally. And I won't ever forget, they had the picture of a son that had been killed in Vietnam hanging on the wall. And I can't remember a single occasion when I visited with those people that they didn't want to talk about their son, and though he had been dead for years. They don't get over it. When you lose a child, you never get over it. And so let those people know that you have not forgotten, that you appreciate the sacrifices. Now, will you be with your children tomorrow? Or perhaps most of us, we're up in age. Will you be with your grandchildren tomorrow? Most of us, or many of us, will. I know this. Three of my grandsons will be coming over and spending the day with Patricia and me. And I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know why, but I always look forward to seeing my family. But for some reason, tomorrow I'm really, really, there's just something, I'm just really especially looking forward to it. And I know tomorrow we'll be grilling some steaks. My daughter, she knows I like oysters, and she's ordered a box of oysters. I don't know where she got them from, but she's got them iced down, and we'll be roasting those oysters, and we'll be enjoying each other's company. But in the enjoyment of their company and in the enjoyment of the sumptuous food, it'll be very easy to forget what we are supposed to remember on Memorial Day, will it not? It'll be very easy. And God forbid that we do so. I want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you to let's seize this ripe opportunity to teach our children and our grandchildren what Memorial Day is all about. Now, I've got something. I'm hoping that I can that they'll go along with it. But I've got something that I want to do with my grandsons tomorrow, to try to emphasize to them the importance of Memorial Day, of what Memorial Day is all about. Help them to appreciate it. I don't know if they get taught those things in school. I was thinking this morning as we were singing those hymns, My Country 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty. You know where I learned that hymn? In five-year-old kindergarten, I can remember singing it. Five-year-old kindergarten, I remember us singing that hymn. I don't know whether they sing that in schools anymore or not. I don't know. But I know this. As a five-year-old boy, we sang that on a regular basis as part of the patriotic observance. On a daily basis, not necessarily the same hymn every day, but that was one we would sing as we thought about our heritage and we taught the patriotism and so forth there. And so use the opportunity you have with your children, your grandchildren tomorrow to teach them what Memorial Day is all about. Now, I've read a rather lengthy text this morning, and it is an excerpt from the life of Joseph. Joseph was one of the godliest men that ever lived. He's one of the few men in the Bible that, to the best of my knowledge, I cannot find a blemish on his reputation. I cannot do it. And not only was he one of the godliest men to ever live, but he was also one of the most mistreated men that ever lived. You know, living for the Lord doesn't mean that life's going to be a bed of roses, does it? A lot of times, it makes life harder because you make a lot of enemies. And his own brothers hated him for his godly stand, and therefore they sold him to slave traders who took him down to Egypt and sold him to a man identified as Potiphar. And there, Potiphar's wife, she falsely accused him of trying to seduce her, when in reality she was trying to seduce him, and he resisted her attacks and insulted her, and therefore she accused him of trying to do to her what she was trying to do to him. And Potiphar believed his wife and had him confined to prison. And through all of that, Joseph refused to become hard or to become bitter. He just kept living for the Lord. He just kept doing his best. He did his best as before he was a slave to please his father. He did his best as a slave to please his master. He did his best in prison and became what I'll call the lead trustee of the prison. He just kept doing his best. They'd knock him down, he'd keep rising to the top. Knock him down, he'd keep rising to the top. That's the way we ought to be as the children of God. Not become hard, not become bitter, but just keep bouncing back. And through it all, Joseph maintained his integrity. And through it all, Joseph repeatedly reached out the others to help them, and including the keeper of the prison. That's how he ended up being a head trustee. Now, one of the men that old Joseph helped as he was a trustee there at the prison was the chief butler. We've read the story, how he had a dream. And he interpreted that dream. But he helped here the chief butler of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who was the monarch of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time. Pharaoh was the man, the most powerful man on the face of the earth, monarch, absolute dictator of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time. And here's Chief Butler's in prison. Now, the Chief Butler and the Chief Baker, as we read here, they had offended the Pharaoh. That's what the Bible says in chapter 40 and verse 1. The end of the verse says, they had offended their Lord, the King of Egypt. Now, what they did, we do not know. And a lot of times you don't have to do a whole lot to defend somebody with such power. They're power crazy. And so what they did, we don't know. But whatever it was, verse 2 of chapter 40 says, he was wroth against them. That didn't mean he opened the IRA up for them. Amen? It means that he was highly upset with them. Wroth, that's a strong, strong word. More than just angry. And so he had them both put into the same prison that Joseph was in. And then the butler and the baker both had the troubling dreams on the same night. And Joseph, noticing a change in their countenance, asked them, said, what's wrong? And they told him about their troubling dreams. And Joseph said, well, he said, God can interpret that for you. And God, through Joseph, interpreted the dreams. And the chief butler told his dream first, and Joseph interpreted it to mean that within 3 days, that Pharaoh was going to restore him to his old position. The chief baker then told him his dream, and Joseph interpreted it to mean the Pharaoh was going to have him beheaded or hung in 3 days. And Joseph's divine interpretation, God-given interpretation, they both proved to be 100% accurate. Now, when Joseph interpreted the chief butler's dream, Joseph asked him to do something for him. Let me read it again. Look back here at verses 14 and 15. He said this to him. He said, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. He said, simply this, he says, please don't forget me. I don't deserve to be here. I'm an innocent man. I've been falsely accused. And whenever you're restored to be the chief butler of Pharaoh, he says, whenever that you're there and everything's going good, you kind of restore, you know, you're back comfortable around him, he says, show me a kindness and please remember me and put in a good word for me. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us if the butler agreed to comply with Joseph's request or not. We just assumed that he did, and I would hope that he at least kind of said, okay, amen. But whether he did or not, he should have. Whether he agreed to or not, he should have said, yes, I'll do that. But you know what? The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 41, 2 full years passed. And the butler had not mentioned Joseph to Pharaoh at all. And then Pharaoh had 2 troubling dreams of his own in one night. And Pharaoh called for his magicians. He called for his wise men. All those to interpret his dream. And none of them can interpret the dream. And then the chief butler said unto Pharaoh, you look there at verse 9. He says, I do remember my faults this day. Otherwise, he said, you know something? There's some faults with my faulty memory. For 2 long years, I have forgotten to say anything to you on behalf of Joseph, a man that helped me out in the prison in my hour of need. And throughout those years, old Joseph has been in the prison, and I've refused to say anything. Now, I want you to imagine the questions and the thoughts that undoubtedly would have plagued Joseph's mind during those years. You realize that when a person has sacrificed on the behalf of somebody else, and whenever that they are, there's no indication that they appreciate it at all, it starts playing on your mind. And I can imagine Joseph having some thoughts like this. Remember, he's a godly man, but he is a man, amen? And I can imagine him thinking, I wonder if the old butler's forgotten all about me down here. I was so kind to him whenever he was here, and I was bringing him his food and taking care of him and everything, and I interpreted his dream. I wonder if he's just forgotten all about me here. I did him a favor, and that he doesn't appreciate enough to even remember me. I wonder, the butler appreciated all what I did for him. I wonder if he's thankful a bit at all. I wonder if I should ever try to help anybody else. After all, I've helped so many people, and this butler was one I helped in a great way, and he's not done anything to express appreciation. Nobody appreciates what I do. Why should I ever try to help anyone else? You know something? I've seen people get in that position in their lives where they say, I'm never going to help anybody else again. I've seen that. I can imagine this thought crossing Joe's mind. I might as well just quit trying so hard. Nobody appreciates it. Doesn't it? I might as well. From now on, I'm just going to live for myself. The rest of the world can take care of themselves. But from now on, I'm just going to take care of old Joseph. I imagine thoughts like that crossed his mind. And if you've ever experienced anything like Joseph was experiencing, helped so many people, and nobody seems to appreciate it, you know what it is. The devil will play with your mind. Amen? Now, it's important that whatsoever we do it heartily as unto who? The Lord. Amen. God. And not unto man. If you do it unto man, whenever the devil plagues your mind with those thoughts, he'll get the victory in your life. So everything you do, it ought to be first and foremost unto the Lord, secondarily for man, and if man appreciates it, that's good. That's icing on the cake. Amen? But if man does not appreciate it, God knows about it. God won't forget it. Amen? And He'll reward you in the end there. But anyway, the devil obviously would be playing with his mind as he would play with any of our minds. And these are the kind of thoughts that would plague his mind and would plague yours if you had been forgotten and you felt unappreciated. Now, the person, there's a lot of people out there like that today. The person that's feeling like that this morning, they may be a soldier who came back from Vietnam and was spit on at the airport when he arrived instead of greeted with flowers or candy. That person may be a soldier whose fiancé or wife abandoned him while he was deployed. And may I say, I think one of the most ungodly things that a person can do is this, is run around with a soldier's spouse while they're on the battlefields. I tell you what, if it was up to me, you just better thank God it's not up to me, amen? But to me, that's about as unpatriotic and ungodly thing as you can do. It may be a soldier whose body was disfigured on the battlefield. And when they came home, they were greeted and maybe had a parade for them. But now, they've been forgotten. It's been a few years now. And so they sit at home in their wheelchair and nobody thinks about them anymore. It may be a soldier whose mind is tormented by memories that he will probably never share with anybody. And if he does, it will probably be in his latter years of life when he just needs to unload on somebody. I've seen men like that. It may be a soldier's wife who is struggling with leaky faucets or dirty air conditioned filters or a car that needs servicing, and they're new at this. They don't know how to go about all those things yet. It may be a soldier's child who celebrates Father's Day or Mother's Day without their dad or mom because they're somewhere serving our country. It may be a soldier's parents who are grieving over the death of their son who died some years ago on the battlefield. There's people like that all around us this weekend. People like that all around us tomorrow that just feel like, I made a great sacrifice, and nobody cares anymore. They made a big hullabaloo whenever I came home or whenever it first happened, but everybody's forgotten about me now. Another person may not even be a soldier or a family member of a soldier. The person may be a parent in a nursing home who never has a visit from a son or daughter. May God have mercy on your soul if you stick your parents in a nursing home and forget about them. It may be a grandparent that helped a grandchild pay his college tuition or perhaps even bought him his first car. And now grandmama or granddaddy sits there and that grandchild never comes by and says hello to them. It may be a parent who has worked well into their retirement years to provide for grown children who have not done too well in life. It may be a loyal and faithful wife or husband who's been taken for granted by their spouse. It may be a child who does not know who his father is, and so he feels unloved and uncared for. It may be a caring teacher who hears nothing but complaints from biased parents day after day after day. It may be a policeman who has frozen bottles of ice thrown at him as he seeks to protect those who are throwing the bottles of ice at him. It may be a waitress who works long hours serving those who tip very little. It may be a politician who never receives a compliment but constantly receives complaints. It may be a janitor who spends their days mopping floors and cleaning toilets and nobody ever takes note of it. It may be a nurse distracted from caring for her patients because she's overwhelmed by filling in unnecessary government forms. It may be a Sunday school teacher that sacrifices every Saturday to teach a 30-minute Bible lesson that nobody seems to appreciate. It may be a benevolent professional who donates free haircuts, or free dental work, or free food, or free Christmas gifts, and yet is feeling totally unappreciated this morning. There's people like that all around us. Now think this weekend, think today, think tomorrow. There is somebody who deserves and needs a word, an act, a note, a token, some expression of gratitude that you can give. There's somebody like that. Who is that person? Is somebody coming to your mind this morning? Don't shrug it off. Don't forget that person. Fulfill your duty and let whoever it is know that you appreciate them. Your doing so may be all that is needed to set them free from their prison of despair. Your doing so may be all that's needed to rescue them from their island of loneliness. Your doing so may be all that's needed to lift them from their dungeon of depression. Your doing so may be all that's needed to free them from the callousness and hardness of their heart. Your doing so may deliver them from their feeling of uselessness. Your doing so may assure them that their life has not been wasted after all. Go out of your way to let them know that you appreciate them. As the butler said to the king of Egypt, let us say to the King of Kings, I do remember my faults this day. I have forgotten someone who has been a great blessing to me. And by God's grace, if they are still alive, before the sun sets this day, or at least before the sun sets tomorrow night, I will make things right with them and in doing so with God, and I will let them know how much I appreciate them. They will not be around forever. I can think of several people that if I had it to go over with, I would have gone back and told them how much I appreciate them. And now that I want to, it's too late. They're already gone. It is a wicked sin to forget our fellow men and women that we should remember. It's wicked to forget them. It is even more wicked to forget the Lord. Of all people, we all remember it's the Lord who created us, the Lord who sustains our life, the Lord from whom all good things come, the Lord who gave Himself for our sins, against Him on Calvary, gave Himself there for our sins. We certainly don't want to forget Him. Amen? And yet the Lord knows we're prone to do so. You realize He's given us two ordinances. One that we're to obey right after we get saved. Baptism. And that is an ordinance whereby we identify with the Savior that died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. And then there's the Lord's Supper, which we are to observe repeatedly. And that is to remind us of the Lord that we identified with, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again victorious over sin, death, and the grave. Now let me ask you, have you repented of your sins this morning? Have you repented of your sins against the Lord? Have you received Him as your personal Savior? No, preacher, I have not. Well, how ungrateful and how wicked can a man be? You say it's bad enough a man forget somebody that gave their life for his freedom. It's bad enough to forget somebody who has sacrificed literally limbs of their body for our freedom. But to forget the Lord who created you and died for your sins, you can't get more wicked than that. Remember your fault this day, and I beg you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him as your Savior. You profess to know Him personally as your Savior. Let me ask you this, is there any evidence of it? Is there anything in your life that says to Him, I'm not ashamed of you? Is there anything in your life that says to you, I'm thankful for what you did for me? Is there? Surely you do not do as this butler did with Joseph. Surely you do not accept the Lord as your Savior and then forget all about Him and just go on about your merry way. If so, remember your fault this day and kneel at this old-fashioned altar and lift your voice up in thanksgiving and repentance to the Lord and say, I remember my fault today, dear Lord. I have taken You for granted. It's been a long time since I've said thank You for saving my soul. It's been a long time since I said thank You for the country that You let me be a part of. It's been a long time since I said thank You for Your blessings. And Lord, I remember my fault this day. I'm here to seek Your forgiveness and ask You, God, to help me not to succumb to that wickedness again. May God help us on this Memorial Day weekend to remember those that we should be grateful for and to remember the Lord that loved us and died for us. May God help us. Let's stand.